say a few words for us. And
you come, Brother Neil.
I'm coming.
Should make sure I turned on that mic right. Well, I'm going to continue on with last week's discussion of the office of the pastor. But before I get started on that, then Keith said about the rest of the religious world celebrating this one week as the resurrection. A lot of the more correct folks have stopped calling it Easter. At least they call it Resurrection Sunday to try to appease those of us who have beat up on them several times about the word Easter. Just as a background, I was in the Southern Baptist Church for 10 years, and one of the big problems I always had with them was the word Easter and celebrating Easter. And I several times went to the pastor, and he was big on Christmas, so I beat him up at Christmas and Easter almost every year. But I just tell him, listen, that it comes from a pagan god. There is no declaration in the Bible to celebrate once a year the resurrection of Christ. That declaration came from the Pope. And same thing with Christmas. And if you look in history, these two holidays are hallmark holidays. These are holidays that the card companies and people brought about in the early 1900s to have celebrations. So they aren't biblical. People try to say, keep Christ in Christmas. Well, Christ never was in Christmas, folks. Christ was in the Bible, and Christ was in the grave, and Christ rose again. And if you do a lot of study on it, somewhere between 29 and 36 A.D. is when Christ was hung on the cross. I kind of hang my hat on April 3rd of 1931. Just because the Easter or the Passover falls right for Christ to have been put on the cross on Wednesday, and come out of the grave before sunrise on the first of the week. And that's the only way you can get 3 days and three nights in the grave. And he said he would be like Jonah was in the whale, 3 days and three nights. And those Baptists who want to celebrate Good Friday, they're hanging their hat on some pagan rituals, and they're hanging their hat on people who are translating Sabbath as one time a week. Well, there's six or seven other Sabbaths throughout the year besides the first day of the week is Sabbath. Yes, exactly. It exactly said it. And that isn't what I was going to speak on this morning, but it's just...
Sabbath ends what time? At 6 p.m.
Correct. And if you look at what happened there, Joseph of Arimathea rushed the leaders there to get that body off the cross and get him into the grave before sundown. And 6 o'clock, sundown right around this time of year, if you watch the sundowns, they start getting close to 6 o'clock. Now we're getting into longer days here, but in that latitude of the earth, it would be around 6 o'clock. Yep. And, you know, folks, it's something that I just don't understand why Baptists in general want to align themselves with
Easter eggs.
Yeah. I promise you, open Bible right over here, we'll have a huge Easter egg hunt. I promise you 90% of the Baptist churches either had one yesterday or I'll have a big one after Sunday school, after church this morning. half of them will shut their Sunday service down to have an Easter egg roll. Folks, I'm sorry, I shouldn't have gotten off on that. I get myself messed up here, and I won't get done with where I was headed for. So last week we talked about about a pastor being an elder. We talked about the title as a bishop, and I was headed down the road of the title of a teacher. Let me find where I'm at in my notes here, because I put them back from the beginning here, and I should have. So the word is poimen. P-O-I-M-E-N, that's the Greek word for this. And this is a herdsman, a shepherd, and a feeder. And in, I guess, was everybody here last Sunday except one? So, two. Sorry, I missed you there. The what I've been discussing, and this is the third time I've spoken on this, the fact that the first message was that we need a pastor. The second message was on the office of the pastor and what is expected of the pastor, and the fact that we all, as members of the congregation, as members of the church, have a duty to carry on the ministry of this church while we're without a pastor, and that we have to fill the requirements of the pastoral office while that office is vacant. Can't just leave the church go. Can't just say, well, we'll just wait until we get a preacher, and we just won't come until we have a preacher. So some of us who are willing to speak have to fill in the pulpit, and some of us who, you know, other things that have to be done around here, we have, I mean, as small as we are, there's still a lot of work to be done to keep a church up. I know a lot of churches, when lost pastor, they would have called off this Bible conference. I think right now probably that Bible conference is more important to this church than it was when we had a pastor. I think there's a difference in the speaking of a preacher, of a God-called preacher, versus those of us who are filling. I do think that God gives us words to speak. He doesn't give them to us verbally, but He directs our minds. And that's one thing this week has been bad about, is as I went to study, you know, I'm bad about being a little bit ADD and seeing a squirrel and chasing it. And this week, with some of the most profane people I know putting up Happy Easter and Christ is Risen on their Facebook page, and I go, but wait a minute, right back here, you were talking about how bad God is, you know? And it's just, I guess I should stay off of Facebook, but it's one of those things that I just see people who have no business. I think some of those things hurt the cause of God more than hurt the cause of Christ more than they help. Because people who are looking to pick apart the church look at what we do day to day, and then they go, "Well, I'm not that bad. I don't guess I need to go to church. He's in the bar Saturday night and wants to proclaim the truth of Christ on Sunday morning." You can't. Those two things are not something we can do without being hypocrites. But let's get back to where I was. So, like I say, squirrel. Y'all ever seen a dog that gets distracted by a squirrel? I'm bad about that. So Strong says that the word is used metaphorically of the presiding officer, manager, director of any assembly. So of Christ, the head of the church and overseer of the Christian assemblies, and of kings and princes. We know that God is the over shepherd, and that the pastor is the under shepherd of the church, and that this is a metaphor of what a pastor is to do, and that is to, if you've ever seen sheep, sheep are pretty malleable, but they're bad about chasing squirrels too. They are not a focused, and that shepherd, and most of the time their dogs keep those sheep guided.
Yep.
And if we're not careful, we can get out of the guidance of Christ. If you don't have a prayer life, if you don't study this Bible, you can get headed down a road that you will, and believe you me, having been raised under a preacher, he knew when I wasn't in the stuff because he knew what my life was doing, even after I wasn't at home. He could talk to me and tell me, son, you know, you need to get it back together. And, you know, for several years I wondered in this, our parents, one, know when we aren't right, but then when your daddy's a preacher, you get double the stuff, I think, on that. But, so Paul uses the same Greek in his letter to the assembly of the Ephesians, where it is translated pastor. Ephesians 4:11 and 13. If you all go there with me. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. So here, prophets is not the same use as prophets is in the Old Testament of foretelling of Christ's coming and those things. The Bible was completed. The fullness of time had come in that Christ had come. So these prophets that we have today are those who study the Word and disseminate the truths out of that Bible. And then you have evangelists. What is the office of an evangelist? Well, a lot of people like to make that out to be these traveling preachers who do a week here and a week, and those are evangelists, and there are some good evangelists out there. I've listened to several of them, but I have a hard time with somebody who's not in a home church on a regular basis, because we're not to forsake the self assembling of ourselves together. And I don't think that means assembling with just whoever you please, because just like, you know, in any family, you should be with your family and your church family on a regular basis. I don't think that there's anything wrong with an occasional trip to go visit and those kind of things. I do it myself. But if that's your lifestyle,
yeah.
I don't see it. They justify it themselves and they have to answer to God for those things. I don't. But I don't think that I could travel. That's like a lot of these gospel singers who travel 200 and 300 days a year and they very seldom in their home church. They aren't contributing to their home church. And so, I mean, if I think a lot of people who say, well, my business becomes, I have to go to work on Sunday. I think either one of two things. Either you've missed God on what your business is, or you've are intentionally hindering yourself being at church. And you may disagree with me, and that's fine, but that's just when you aren't at your church, when you aren't participating in your church, the church is missing a part of its body. And whether it be a little finger or the head, you're missing something in that church, and that's what I'm trying to get at. There is a lot of times the pastor is the one who this falls to bring back those members, and all of us as members are supposed to help with that. But a lot of times that pastor knows things that we don't know. He's been entrusted with things by the people that we don't know as members of the church. And so a lot of times that will fall to them. So some pastors and teachers, and I think that if you look there at that last portion of that verse, pastors and teachers, I think that's not pastors and teachers. I think that's pastors, teachers, as together. Because I think the primary function of a pastor is to teach the church. I think over the years I've seen different types of preachers. And I've always seen the churches that grow, the churches that have a tendency to have better functionality, that have more. And when I say a church grows, you don't have to grow in numbers, but you have to grow in spirituality. And you have to grow in knowledge of the Bible. And you have to have someone who's a teacher to head that road. And he gave some, anyway, in this chapter, when we address elders, Peter uses the word to refer to Jesus as the chief shepherd, indicating that these elders whom he is addressing are under shepherds. 1 Peter 5, 2 through 4. Now, I may have read that last week, but I'm going to read it again this week. Verse 2 through 4. Feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind. Neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being in samples of the flock. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. And what he's saying here is not as a you do this, you do this, not as a dictator, not as a lording over the people, but as being a humble shepherd and being part of the flock, being a member of the church also. And I think that I don't think they had that problems at those times, but If you watch these churches on TV, you'll see that they have some of these, and I don't know that I would call them pastors. We have some performers out there who are not very humble, but they're very flamboyant, and they're definitely out there for filthy lucre. The word teacher is also used of those who are the presiding officers and overseers of New Testament churches. Barnabas, who had become one of the elders of the assembly in Antioch, was, it seems, also called a teacher. Acts 13:1. Now there were in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers, as Barnabas and Simeon, that was also called Niger, and Lucas of Cyrene and Manene, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch and Saul. So here in Paul's epistle to the Ephesians church, 4:11, and he gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers. The pastors and teachers, John Gill says, I rather think they intend one and the same office, that the words teachers is only explanative of the figurative word pastor, like I said earlier when I broke that down. And the rather because if the apostles had designed distinct officers, he would have used the same form of speaking as before and have expressed himself thus, and some pastors and some teachers, whereas he does not make such a distribution here. So, you kids who are still in school, when you learn diagramming sentences and other English language things, some of these things you may not think are important, but when you go to study the Bible, sometimes those old lessons of old, as I start to say now, lessons of old come back to you. It hadn't been long ago I finished college, but it was tough because those lessons that the other folks in those classes had just gone through in high school. I was going 30 years ago. What? So it's funny that, you know, those lessons that we learn are lessons for life, and that's just like this Bible. This Bible contains lessons for life. And you know, a lot of times, always hide the words in your heart that you might not sin against God. Always thought, you know, I'm an American. Always have a Bible with me. Always be able to get to a Bible. Well, that's not always true. There are times where you're in the dark of night and there would be no way to read a Bible, even. Or you're on the road traveling and you got a thought in your mind and those things and those words that you've memorized over the years come back to your mind. I remember still to this day had a Sunday school teacher who would give out a Bible for anybody who memorized Psalms 23. Well, I memorized that thing for the Bible. Probably not the right reason to remember to memorize it, but you know what? I can still quote it. And just those memory verses that we learned as young kids, and I'm sure that they're getting memory verses to learn now. Those verses sometimes, in the worst of times, will bring back to your mind. I can't tell you the number of times when things weren't going exactly right that a verse would come to my mind. But I'll tell you another thing. These songs that we sing that have their truth in the Bible, those are verses that sometimes that's the easiest way to memorize a verse is to memorize a song that has it in it. And 'cause there's something about the human mind that music brings back. But the office of teacher, all these things are brought through that office of teaching, and no pastor will ever just totally ignore everything else that's going on in church. If he does, he's probably not a very good pastor. They'll stop you from singing a song that's unscriptural if they feel that a Sunday school teacher is not teaching the proper things. They'll correct that. It's just one of those things that, as an under shepherd, he's responsible for those things. A pastor is responsible for what's taught in his church. Now, that doesn't mean we don't have an obligation to assist him in that. We have, like Lucian, Lucian doesn't have to, but Lucian teaches Sunday school even when we do have a pastor. And if a pastor felt that Lucian was teaching something wrong, he should stop him. And anybody here who feels that I'm teaching something wrong, Lucian, any of us are saying something wrong, speak up right then. Let's stop it before it goes too far. And I guess my heart is this. We need to be teaching the Bible while we don't have a pastor.
Right.
And we need to have a group of men in here who stand up to someone so we don't get led down Primrose Path and get a mess going on in this church while we don't have a pastor. So, in that Ephesians 4:11, that's the only time the word pastor is used with reference to the presiding officer of a New Testament church. The inference is there several times. It is inferred in Paul's address to the elders of the church in Ephesus, Acts 20:28. And I am going to get through this today. Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. And, you know, I think that scripture says more than just I think it's saying more than just the teaching. I think it's pointing out the importance of that teaching to the, he says, purchased with his own blood. Folks, this is a blood-bought church. We were bought with Christ's blood. And if you take lightly standing up here and speaking, I think you're headed for a problem. It's hard sometimes to get your mind wrapped around what you're going to say up here, especially for those of us who don't do it all the time. And I think sometimes Lucian said it last week. He was struggling. At different times we all have struggles with things that we're saying, with keeping our mind concentrated on one thing. But that's where prayer life helps, and that's where y'all in down there praying for us who are up here speaking helps, because keeping our mind focused can be very hard up here. I've spoken in larger assemblies where it was harder because there was more things going on than there are here. Here it's pretty benign. There's not a lot going on. But, I mean, some Sundays it could be worse. I don't know. Was it last Sunday y'all had the littler ones? That could be hard on some people who are, especially aren't used to that. Always want the little ones at church. It's like, I think it's so important for grandparents, if their kids aren't in church, to bring their grandkids to church. I think it's important for us to get those kids in church. It's hard for me to watch grandkids not get the chance that you gave your kids to church because the parents have decided they aren't going to go to church. Anyway, sorry, little sidetrack there. They are instructed to shepherd for the pastor, the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. Shepherding them involves feeding them, and feeding them involves teaching them the word of God. What we're saying here is, this is the shepherd's job, is to make sure that the sheep have food, whether it be grazing or grain fed or whatever. Most of the time, what the shepherd did in those days when they weren't in the fold, two different types of feeding. In the fold, they fed them hay and stuff. Out in the field, they moved them on a regular basis to keep them where they could feed during the day, so that they had, because sheep will just continue to eat in a circle and they'll destroy the land, whereas cows generally won't. That's just something from being raised around my daddy, I know. But most of the time, a sheep will eat down to the root. So that's why it was important for them to move them. And that's part of the shepherd's job. And that's part of what a pastor is to do, is to move them. If we studied one scripture every week, the same scripture over and over and over again, we would know one scripture. We would be milquetoast Christians in my book. We would not have any depth to our knowledge. And that's why it's important for them to feed us, and to not, because we will have a tendency not to want to feed the right way. And that's why a pastor guides us where we should feed. So anyway, other religions have had a tendency to have different hierarchical things, and this is my conclusion here. And they have taken names from us. A lot of them treat an elder name as different from a bishop and those kind of things. And we as Baptists have let them do it. And we've let them take those names away from us. But a pastor is a bishop. Pastor is an elder. Now, we won't head down the road of a reverend, because I don't think that name has any business anywhere.
Right.
Because a reverend is somebody that you're supposed to revere, and the only people we're supposed to revere is Christ. So that's the only place where that name reverend goes.
In the Old Testament, Jehovah's name is only reverend.
Right? Yes. Yeah.
Back to where it said, only his name is reverend.
Right. Right. That's why I have a problem with those who want to be called reverend. It circumvents what the Bible. It's like calling a father, calling a religious leader father. That's wrong. There's only supposed to be one. You're only supposed to have one daddy on this earth. But there's other names that we've let other denominations take from us, and we need to claim those names of bishop, claim the name of elder. And I think we generally have them called elders around here. That's what we generally use as a title. But you know what? Calling them brothers just as good too. So that's my conclusion, and I'll head down another road the next time. So
we'll move the sheep around to a new pack.
Yes, sir.